Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا على صلاة هيا على صلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة الله أكبر الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمات ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين ألا القائل إن دين الله الإسلام وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace, the mercy and the blessings of Allah be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa jumu'ah mubarak and a blessed day of gathering. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Fal yakhsifu bil haqq ala batili fayyad maghuhu fa'iza huwa zahiqu wal laqumul waylu mimma tasifun. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. This is a reading from Surah Al-Anbiya, the chapter of the Prophets, 21:18. And a translation of it, an expression of it, is, nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood, and it knocks out its brain. And behold, falsehood perishes. And woe to you for the false things that you ascribe to us. This expression says, that is, us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just a little note about the translation, quote unquote. There's a very clear a statement that the Quran can't be translated, because effectively to say it can be translated is to say that exactly what is in it can be brought into another language. No. Allah created, literally, the language that became and that is the capacitor, the container for all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to be in expression and in temporal space. That is, Allah sent everything that he meant in every word that he sent. And whatever we pull out of any of those words are only attempts to bring out that applies to the moment and the circumstance that we're in. It does not express fully what is in the container. So, mashallah, alhamdulillah. So there's what you call formal equivalence and functional equivalence. So a translation that would be considered, quote unquote, a way of translating. Keep all those translations, keep that in quotes. The translation that would be called formal equivalence, equivalence meaning that this equals that. Formal equivalence is the label that's put on a word for word explicit translation of the quote-unquote content in the word. And so in terms of it being able to say exactly what that is, as we've already said, for as far as Quran is concerned, it's not possible. Because there's a universe, there's a universe in every word, so it's just simply no way. But in any case, technically, grammatically, lexically, et cetera, then, you know, those who translate the words, remember, air quotes, they say, okay, well, just say what the word means. Say what the word means, okay? Strong limitations there, but I'll have to get out of this so I can move on. The other is functional equivalence. Functional equivalence. And the functional equivalence is not word for word, but thought for thought. It's like, okay, there's an idea in the word. There's a concept in the word. And in some ways, the words, whether they be Quranic words, English words, other words, you can start talking about semantics and other things like that, but the idea is that there is a certain boundedness to words, right? And there's a certain semantic field for words, right? And, of course, when the context changes, then which semantic field applies to what word, that also changes. So in order to really, quote-unquote, deliver for the moment, for the circumstance that you are doing the translating, you have to be sure to have the context so you can be into the right semantic field so that you're drawing out the quote-unquote most appropriate meaning that's given. I believe it's 39:18 where the Quran says, the believers are those who seek to hear the word and follow the best meaning in it. In any case, so that formal equivalence is word for word. Functional equivalence, inshallah, and all of it has to be on the guidance, when you're talking about the Quran, for sure, it has to be on the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, if you guide it to the right field for the sense of it, for the sense of it, and field and feel, you have to have a feel for it. None shall touch it but the purified. Having a feel for it, and with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allahu alam, Allah knows best, you come up with the quote-unquote best meaning under the circumstance. As the Quran says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَةِ, strive after for what is best under the circumstances. Where does that apply? Everything. It applies everything to quote-unquote translating the Quran as well, Allahu alam. So a functional equivalence, translation, expression of the I adapt from my brother, the progressive Sheikh Imam Salim Mu'min, that way of saying that, an expression of it, right? a functional equivalent expression of it is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَقْصِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى بَعْطِلَ فَيَدْمَغُوهُ فَعِذَا هُوَ زَحِيقُ. صدق الله العظيم. The first reading that we gave, it says, nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood and it knocks out its brains. And behold, falsehood perishes. Okay? So that's very much to, in relative terms, formal equivalent of the translation. Now I want to give a functional equivalent translation. Allah knows best. Functional meaning that since it is that words mean what they make you do, that's a fact. Words mean what they make you do. Well, the meaning that you get from a word, again, which is a part of the translating process, the meaning that you get from a word comes for the purpose of guiding, directing your behavior, right? It's meaningless if it doesn't tell you what you should do, how you should think, etc. Well, here's the functional equivalence for the first part of that statement, first part of that verse. Allah throws light on the subject and ends the argument. Allah throws light on the subject and ends the argument. I'm not going to go back through the words because it takes more time than we want to spend on that part of it. But just simply take that as a meaning, as an expression of it, and that tells you, okay, and what should you do? What should you do? You should find the light for the subject. What it doesn't matter. It could be political, it could be economic, it could be any of the four birds. We usually like to draw that from the language of Imam Muhammad. Any of those. It could be culture, it could be religion, it could be business, it could be education, all that. It could be governance. All of that. And what are you supposed to do? And there's falsehood in every one of those domains in the world of man. There's falsehood in every one of those domains. None of those domains are pure and free of falsehood, baatil, darkness, right? And though, and that baatil and that darkness is doing many, many things. But the most significant of which is that it is suppressing the progress of the human society, the world of human beings, to the destiny that Allah intended for them. And that is the darkness that oppresses. Well, in order to remove that darkness that oppresses, you have to remove the falsehood. And in order to remove the falsehood, you have to take what Allah casts. As Allah says, He casts bilhaq, He casts the truth, and then the falsehood disappears. So we have to get the light of truth for the subject matter, i.e. that constitutes for us, if we're seeing it correctly, the core of the problem. And then once you see that that's the heart of the problem, the core of the problem, and in the verse which it is speaking to, a part of that functional equivalency, it says see it like the brain as opposed to the heart. See it like the brain. See that darkness, falsehood. See what oppresses that domain. It's not in the heart of the matter. It's the brains of the matter. It's the thinking that provides the basis that leads those people in that domain who use that language and because of that language think and behave in alignment with the falsehood in the domain, which makes the entirety of the domain and the institution itself fail to fulfill the object that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for it because the truth is not there. The truth is not ruling the domain. Darkness is ruling the domain. Well, we have to get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He would have us know and understand about that domain, and we have to throw it into the conversation. Throw it into the institution, throw it into the processes, throw it into the minds of the people. And inshallah, like David and his sling that hit Goliath in the forehead and went deep into the forehead, then we can change the mind of those that are guided, if we dare call it that, by falsehood. So Allah throws light on the subject and ends the argument. So if you find yourself arguing with someone, it can be whatever. As sports, let me go away from the things that seem to be, you know, like totally sacred. I know for some people sports are absolutely sacred, but allow me to minimize it a little bit. This is like, you know, who's the greatest of all time? This is going to be argument. So if you find yourself arguing, okay. Well, only people of equal knowledge argue. You should understand that. Only people of equal knowledge argue. So if you find yourself arguing with someone, it's because you don't know any more about the subject than they do. That's the real answer. You find yourself, if you don't like arguing with somebody about, well, the only way you can end the argument is either stop arguing or come up with the argument that ends the argument, right? And what ends the argument is that light that goes right to the nature of the matter, puts it into it. Now, if you find somebody that they're going to keep on arguing after the light and the facts and the irrefutable information has been set before them, well, then you become a fool if you keep arguing with them, because you brought it clearly to them. It's no longer debatable. It is no longer, by if you brought the light, it's no longer debatable. Okay, yeah, I ain't going to accept that. Okay, well, peace, salam, et cetera. So, and move on, right? But if you keep arguing, it's not because your knowledge wasn't correct, it's because your development wasn't there. And so you kept arguing, so then you reduced yourself to their level. So you by denying the truth of what you know, is that this is the truth. What am I arguing about? What's there to argue about? Khalas. this is the end of the argument. Oh no, man! You come back here. That's no. I'm done. I don't have anything else to say about that matter. For me, it's a settled matter. In any case, so the point is that until you arrive at that argument that settles your own heart and settles your own mind as to this is the light, this is the truth, and we add in the hadith. So this is so you can kind of do a self assessment. You can kind of do a self-assessment, right? Okay, so that person, in my example, they still want to argue. For you, the argument is settled because you believe you brought the subject, you brought the light on the subject that ended, that should, for reasonable people, end the argument, right? But if they decide, no, that's not the end of it, well, you don't have to check with them anymore. Now you have to check your own heart. Check your own heart. And the Prophet tells us how to do our own self-assessment in this regard. He said, truth is what makes the heart feel tranquil. And falsehood is what wavers in the heart, even though you've been given jurisprudential or legal weight that supports your position. But your heart's not settled with. Okay, well then, for you still, no matter what they're saying, for you still, you haven't come to the truth. How do you know? Because your heart is not at rest. But once your heart is at rest, as Abraham, alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the paragon of everything that we're talking about, yasma inna qalbi, if your qalb, the seat of understanding and affection, is at rest with it, now you can walk away very, very easily and calmly and, you know, without even worrying about, you don't even turn around and look, you don't think about it, you don't give it another thought, because you know that they're lost in whatever kind of, well, I'm going to use this, you know, kind of foolishness that they've adapted as their position. Well, you don't have to stay there with them. So much for that. So this is what you're looking for. You're looking for the light on the subject that ends the argument. And I would say that the first place that you need to end the argument is inside your own self. That's first and last, right? Inside your own self, you're settled. Right? There again is the picture of Abraham. He, star, moon, sun, he got the understanding when he went back to the people and said, look, I've been guided to the answer, and what you all are doing are crazy. Right? So he was ready for whatever comes after that. But then at the same time, or rather along with that, after he crushed the idols, put the axe on the big one, and they came to him and said, who did this? He said, ask the big one. He said, okay, protect your religion, put him in the fire, do something. So they put him in the fire, and what? It says, fire be cool and peace for Abraham. So someone can continue. This is metaphysically, it's an argument. Somebody can continue to argue with you, are you cool? Are you cool? One of the ways you will also know, we're talking about self-assessment at this point, one of the ways that you will also know whether you have the truth or not on the matter in question, are you cool? When people get back at you with whatever it is they're saying, or do you lose your form? Because if you lose your form, that's like fire. Fire breaks things down. Fire takes something from what its full form is and breaks it all the way down to what its constituent parts are. So if somebody can argue with you and then they broke you down, whereas you lose your form, you know, again, you're back to the foolishness, you didn't have the truth, et cetera, et cetera. So therefore, this is also one of the ways that you could also know if you really have the truth. When somebody comes back at you, do you lose your form? Do you get angry? Do you get upset? Do you get unsettled? Are you disturbed, anxious, can't think about anything else other than that? Well, it's because you don't have the truth about it. You don't have, because we have the truth, the fire is cool and peace for you. You can look at them and say, oh, man, these guys are hot. They're burning up. They're angry. You should see them as being on fire. You should see them as being on fire. Man, they're burning up. And you should see, but these are not good people, right? You can keep trying to put water on your beloveds as much as you can. But the point is that for the others, it's it's like those sci-fi horror flicks, right? Or Wizard of Oz. Let's keep it a little softer. The Wizard of Oz, right? When Dorothy or Scarecrow, somebody, they threw that bucket of water on the witch. I'm melting. So you should see them as being broken down by their argumentative mind, the flying fiery serpent. You see them, they're the losers. You're not the loser, mashallah. But again, their goal is to get you to arguing again, because if they get you arguing again, now they brought you back into their lair, and mashallah. Interesting. Lair is spelled L-A-I-R. You just switch up two letters and you got liar. All right. So another verse that's critical to this, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًّا شَيْطَانَ الْإِنسَانِ وَالْجِنِّ يُحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلُ الْغُرُورِ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ الْغُرُورِ خَوْلِ الْغُرُورِ. Let's read it again. وَكَذَلِّكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوٌ شَيَطِينَ الْإِنسَانَ وَالْجِنِّ يُحْيِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا صدق الله العظيم. So, an expression of it is, likewise did we make for every messenger an enemy, evil ones among men and jinn, inspiring each other with flowery discourses by way of deception. So, for every messenger, which also means then, for every message. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, there's universal truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to the world in the Quran, and there's the life of human beings that Allah intends. A destiny for. He's given it from the time he said, Kun. That destiny is what all life has been moving towards and supporting, all life that is bound and connected and projecting from that foundation of haqq, reality. However, or rather part and parcel of that, is that there has been, and there always is, an enemy for that truth. We've addressed as briefly as it might have been the idea of matter and antimatter. This is the nature of creation, you know, matter and antimatter. And without going into the details, the quote unquote, there is a fundamental cosmological imbalance between matter and antimatter that makes life as we know it possible. But life as we know it, I'm going to give you something else that comes from one of the private conversations with the imam. I'm not name dropping. I'm just trying, just setting you up for, okay, getting ready for something that you have to handle. It's that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never going to allow Satan to be destroyed, because if Satan was destroyed, there would be no choice. If Satan were destroyed, there would be no choice. Right? We are always, it is part of our existential reality, that we're always going to have to make a choice. And we're that capacity for choice and that need for choice and that function of choice is so literally, the scientific language is, you know, postulate. It is a postulate of reality that something exists, forces us, in order to have free will, there always has to be something that calls for choice. If free will is to exist, there has to be choice. If there's no choice, where's the free will? Okay. So, and who is the creature that makes this choice necessary? We know him as Shaitan. We know him as Shaitan. Okay. So this is why when we had that pit stop, we said, listen, brothers and sisters, take that thought right there, and I'm talking about those of you who are taking it further and on your own, et cetera, following in some of the places that we don't stop. There's at least three. I haven't formalized it, but there's at least three sections, three whole sections. I think it's in chapter 15, chapter 15 of Hijr, 7 al-A'raf, and of course, Surah al-Baqarah, chapter 2, when we first get that story. But the whole Iblis Shaitan scenario, because this is significant at this moment in my saying it, is because I'm talking about, I mentioned matter, antimatter, I mentioned haq, reality, I mentioned what Allah said, kun, when he said kun, and everything that he intended was there. And then we get these first stories. We get these stories of our first existence, okay? Our first existence, Adam and his wife, right? And Iblis and the angels. These first stories, these are the cornerstone. And in that cornerstone, Allah is saying, you want to know what your life is about? You want to know what is core, what is central? Allow me to even say, at the subatomic level, just put it on a physical perspective, but then for the physical, there's the metaphysical. This same temporal representation of Iblis and Adam and his wife and the angels and what God ordered and what God planned, et cetera, that's speaking to us about the origins of everything and the origin of our lives, right? So in terms of everything that's going on there, it is an abstract. It is an abstract of concepts which, if you can understand them by the grace of Allah, concepts which, if you can understand them, you can understand your whole life and everything that happens in it. If everything that's going on in this world right now becomes very easy to understand with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you have that template to overlay on circumstances. Oh, okay, there's Adam and his wife. Okay, there's Iblis, there's Shaitan, There's the invitation to the tree. There's the slipping. There's the repenting. There's the meta word. Where are you seeing that? In the 21st century, in political circumstances, in educational circumstances, in cultural circumstances, mashallah. So that's the guidance that we have. So in terms of for every message, for every messenger, there's an enemy. Now, what we're told by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed is that, well, where is the heart of the problem? Where is the life? Where does the power of falsehood in the world come from? I do have to say this. You know, one of the hadiths, someone's asking a question, you know, who made this, who made that, you know. And so then one of the questions come up and says, well, who created Allah? And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, only Satan asked that question. Only Satan asked that question, right? But one of the things that come up with people now, when I say people now, I mean, this is post-Homo sapien. You know, once you get Homo sapien, you know, he starts, you know, deciding he's got a mind of his own or what have you. So the idea is that within God, if God created everything, then God must have created Satan. No, Allah didn't create Satan. Satan is not rooted in the reality, right? The jinn have choice, says men have choice, right? The jinn have choice. Iblis was a jinn. He wasn't a man and isn't a man, okay? He's a jinn. And when he was faced with the choice to bow and submit to what Allah's will, once Allah manifests what his will is, okay, here's the choice. Everyone was given a choice. Angels had a choice. Jinn had a choice. There were no quote-unquote men at the time. We did with the abstract. So there was only Adam, right? So all the angels bow. You know the rest of the story. The angels bow, not so Iblis, right? And then now we get Shaitan. Iblis is the name of that jinn that was the leader among the angels. And he was basically the guy that was, quote unquote, had the freedom to be in charge, such as it were. So when he didn't bow, well, that's a choice he made. When he made that choice, he was no longer Iblis. He was Shaitan, right? And then from that point on, he acted and did what he did. I know you have to read the rest of the story. Grant me respite. I'll come at them from this way, that way, blah, blah, blah. All that's inside the story. But I'm saying that for us to understand, inshallah, with the help of Allah, that for every messenger, there's an enemy, and also for every message. Now, when we say message and messenger in this context, then we're talking about Allah's truth, because that truth, that haqq, that reality that's in the foundation of creation, those of you with us on the Sunday broadcast, we've gone a long way to understand that Allah put his values, put his ideas, put his principles, put his intention, put his will in the beginning with his word, kun. It's all there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the means by which, the channel through which his values, principles, ideas, quote-unquote truth, would come into the world, particularly the world of man. And when it comes, it's just like matter and antimatter. The strength of an idea comes by the opposition that it overcomes. So فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرِ. So that everything that is coming in is going to be challenged, just like the sperm in the birth canal. Everything that's seeking to come into and seeking to have life, it's going to have to be opposed. It has to be opposed. And if it is the haqq, if it is the truth, if it is the reality, if it is time for Allah's will in that matter to come into three-dimensional space, nothing can stop it, even though they try. And so every message, there are enemies. Now, wherein lies the power of these enemies? Yes. In 1764, Bani Israel, the chapter entitled Bani Israel, I just mentioned the beginning and the end of 64 and 65, so we can understand a little more about this power. Allah says to the shaitan, after he made all his declaration, and now this is also in Surah 17, I mentioned three, Surah 15, Surah 7, Surah Baqarah, here's his affection where he's addressed. Shaitan and his plans are addressed also in Surah 17. And in these two verses, I'm reading just the beginning and the end of 64 and 65, an expression of it says, lead to destruction those who you can among them with your seductive voice. Lead who you can. Go ahead. Shaitan said, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do. That's it, fine. Lead to destruction whoever you are, because I've given everybody free choice. I've given jinn and men. Giving you free choice. Whatever you choose to do, that's fine. Whoever chooses to follow you, that's fine. I'll fill hell with you and all of them. You have respite. And, of course, you know with the revelation of the Quran, the respite is done. It's over. Okay? And then at the last part of this, verse 64 of 17, Bani Israel, it says, but Satan promises them nothing but deceit. Satan promises them nothing but deceit. And this is what is mentioned in 6:1-12, the verse that God is here. Likewise did we make for every messenger an enemy, evil ones among men and jinn, inspiring each other with flowery discourses by way of deception. زخوف القول غرور زخوف القول غرور beautiful adorned speech, beautiful decorated speech. It's the speech, it's the flowery speech, it's the hypnotic speech. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, watch out, but I gotta tell you, apart eloquence is hypocrisy. A part of eloquence is hypocrisy. See, everything has khair and shar. So maybe my language should be reversed, but it's effectively correspondent. A part of hypocrisy is eloquence, and a part of eloquence is hypocrisy. The message is that messed up English. So let's just understand this. Let's start with al-aqidah, then we're going to move on. Al-aqidah, right? Al-aqidah. وَقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرَّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرَّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So out of all these things, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, there's khayr and shar, potential benefit and potential harm. Let's go back to the jinn, Iblis, Shaitan. Created what? He created the jinn. He created the jinn. Okay. What about the jinn? Khair and shar. There's khair and there's shar in the jinn. Right? It has potential benefit, potential harm. Ask Suleiman. How did Suleiman use the jinn? He used the jinn for good. He had jinn on his council, big jinn on his council. He used jinn as divers, builders, et cetera, et cetera. He got the khayr. The Quran tells us about a whole tribe of jinn who accepted the religion. So all jinn are not bad. Sorry to say, some of my best friends are jinn, but no, that wouldn't be right. So in terms of the jinn, okay, so Iblis becoming shaitan, that's a part of the shar of the jinn. But it was brought out by the choice in that jinn that we know to be Iblis. All right. So the potential benefit and the potential harm of hypocrisy. Of eloquence. So we can start with speech. We can start with speech. So there's speech. I'm working out the logic in front of you right now. So there's speech, right? What Allah gave speech. Allah gave speech, right? And in speech is what? Khair and shar. Khair and shar. So a part of the shar of eloquence is hypocrisy. A part of the shar of eloquence is hypocrisy, right? There's a temptation in those who are eloquent to act hypocritically because they can, how you say, they can make lies seem true. But they say it so beautifully, and when they speak to a mind that doesn't have the ability to dissect and to think and reflect and assess and critique their flowery speech, then they, like the Pied Piper, are able to talk those people without the heart, the mind, the taqwa, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the craziest of things. But who did that? Shaitan did that. How was he able to do that? He was able to do that with zuhuf al-qawli ghurur, able to make them promises, but as Allah says, his promises are nothing but deception. So Satan cast his spell. He cast his spell with what? With his flowery, decorated speech. And the ones he gets are the ones who don't know how to think. So what you say? You got to suspect everybody who can talk good? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you need and I need to know how to think. Because you should listen. You should be able to get a sense of how are you feeling after that speech finishes? How are you feeling after? And then you ask yourself, among many things, you have to think all the time when you're listening. You have to ask yourself, okay, now, when all is said and done, what are they telling me to do? Just when all is said and done. Okay, speech is over. Okay. If I acted like that speech, would it seem to be telling me to do, what should I be doing? Now, look at that. Just think about it. Just think if Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, had stopped and asked that question, because now you know, because again, it's existentially telling us abstractly about our true self. See, he forgot what God told him. And when he forgot what God told him and got intoxicated by what the flowery speech of the shaitan gave him, he stopped thinking. And then he behaved in the way that the speech actually led him to, and he didn't check himself at the moment of that quote-unquote misbehavior because he was intoxicated through the manipulation of his appetite. And so his appetite took over, and he was driven and no longer in control of his appetite. This is another meaning of the jinn. The jinn is undomesticated urges and impulses, functionally understood. And so he ate the fruit, quote unquote, and that's when the problem was full blown problem. But what happened? He stopped thinking. He didn't look at, wait a minute, what am I doing? You know, do you think anybody's in trouble because of that? How did I get here? What am I doing? Except you were hypnotized. A spell was cast. And, well, literally, you lost your mind. You lost the natural mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. So Satan and his host, they cast a spell with the zuhuf al-qawli ghurur. And Allah cast the truth. Yaqtifu, naqtifu. Allah says he cast bilhaq. He casts the truth. And that's what dispels. So, How much on a daily basis do we or should we or must we consume the truth? Now, you know the Quran is the truth. The Quran is the truth. One more time. The Quran is the truth. So do you think maybe you should read the Quran every day? It's like getting your daily dose of vitamins, minerals, nutrients, the Quran, that which is to be read, that's bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, all right? This is the bread. So just being in the habit, I know some people, they take vitamin C every day without fail, right? And other minerals, they take them without fail. But these same Muslims don't necessarily read the Quran every day. But, of course, if you make your prayer, you make your salat, and you actually listen and don't do it out of just rote and habit, but you actually listen to what you're saying when you're making the prayer, reminding yourself, that is consuming this truth that we're talking about as well. But the point is, the point is to understand that we have to get a daily dose of truth so that we will be protected from those things that may otherwise get into us as though we had a compromised immune system. And so you can get some ideas like viruses as well that will cause you, that can cause you to lose your mind. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله إن الذين تقوا إذا مساهم طائف من الشيطان تذكروا فإذا هم مبصرون صدق الله العظيم. This is Surah Al-A'raf, verse 201. An expression of it is, surely those who have God consciousness, when a thought of evil from Satan thrown at them, they think in the manner that Allah would have them think, and then they see clearly. All right. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So what we've said is, okay, shaitan is a reality. It's part of our human existence, meaning in the environment, shaitan, he's been there from the beginning. In fact, he was there before us. Allah says, and he created the jinn before from a fire free from smoke. So before we even came into this, jinn was already here, already existing, right? So he's all a part of the process, right? And so the verse says, those who have taqwa, they have the consciousness that Allah would have them. Allah's work is through casting spells with zuhruf al-qawl al-ghurur. What's the protection? That's the problem. Please understand, it's the problem everywhere, in everything. Shaitan is there, okay, well, I don't go over here. I only go over here. No, shaitan is everything that's intended for the human destiny and the arrival at Allah's will for a human being. Shaitan is in it all, okay? So he is always trying to interrupt the movement, all right? But those who have taqwa, what is taqwa? Inward guarding consciousness. Those who have due regard. Those who think in the way that Allah would have them think about whatever. They think about their children in the way that Allah would have them think. They think about their families in the way that Allah would have them think. They think about their businesses. They think about their jobs. They think about their institutions. They think about everything with the regard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have them give to it. Those people, God is saying, when a thought for me, so it's like, what do they do when shaitan comes with his zuhuf al-qawl al-ghurur? What do they? They think. They think. They say, okay, well, I better put my think cap on with this guy's brother. I better pay attention. And you should think about all those things that are exerting force in the world, effects in the world. And yes, especially those things that are exerting in the world that are contrary to what Allah intends for the human being. And don't wait for the rest of the world to agree with you in that position. Well, let me see. Well, the polls say 77% of people said to each his own. Okay. Is that how you're deciding on how you're going to live? Right? No. You use what Allah has ordered to judge whatever. I don't care. They got 2 million followers on Instagram. Okay. 2 million shaitans. 2 million fools that shaitan has cast a spell upon, and they're being led to hell. That's the train that they're on. You know, you got to watch out. It's like, because you go to sleep and you wind up getting your ticket and all aboard, and now you're on that train. Why? Because you stop thinking. You let your taqwa go. Didn't maintain the consciousness. Well, Allah is saying, and this is our protection. This is what we're speaking to. How do you protect yourself? These are not just simple demons that we're talking about. This world, the power in this world is not just simple persons, whoever that we have access. I don't care, on all those platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever. If you see them, they are not the shaitan. They are not the shaitan. Maybe they're one of the ornaments on his ring finger or something like that. I don't know. Point is that, it's like, oh, man, he's the devil. No. Shaitan, you can't even see shaitan. So you have to be able to be able to recognize that, or his minions will cast a spell on you and you get caught up. So it says when the ta'ifam min ash-shaytan, when they are struck by a thought of evil from shaitan. We'll go ahead and conclude this portion here. And a large part of what I'm saying is, you know, take a look at yourself. Take a look in your mind. Take a look, because this is the time that we're in. We're in a time where people that we may not, ourselves, just stick to yourself. It's like, you know, we're in the time of this whole pandemic, right? Yeah, all this. So you got those who are asymptomatic and this and that. You got that. MashaAllah, I'm not making light of it at all. But we are very virus conscious, right? So, see, there's still, I mean, it's just a fact. It's, you know, they got you really focused on the physical. Really, really focused on the physical. What about the mind viruses? What about the lies that are going in your head unobstructed because you worried about who got a mask on or not? I'm not making light of it. I'm saying you got to understand that shaitan, he also distracts. And he'll distract and make you put excessive emphasis. There are those things we have to be cautious about. And we will be cautious. And we are cautious about it here. And I am cautious about it as well. But I also have this consciousness of how shaitan operates. And verses that we haven't gotten to, but we'll come to it. It says, Satan and his hosts watch you from a position that you see them not. He'll tap you on this shoulder over here, get you to look over there while he's doing something over here. He said he's come from the right, from the left, from before, from behind. And you got to understand, how are some of the ways? But if he gets you to only think about the physical ways as the threat, well, then his job is done with you, because he's like, yeah, man, you got to watch out for this. Watch out. No, you need to watch the metaphysical as well as the physical, okay? So that being said, then, so your self-evaluation, right? You go into these places. I've been to several places. You know, they have this little thermometer gun or whatever it is, and okay, you can come in. Okay, you can come in, right? And so the idea of being able to evaluate yourself, you say, okay, well, let me see. If I have been affected by Tariq from Minashayatong, if I have been affected by something that some head spinning way of thinking that Shaitan puts out there. And concluding this portion of the khutbah, I ask you to ask yourself these questions. Now consider this. If something gets into your mind, it could be anything, brother and sister. I want you to understand this. If something gets into your mind and it causes you to go wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, wondering and wandering. Just do a self-assessment. Look into your own mind, look into your own heart, look into your own spirit, look into your own consciousness, and see if there's anything that leaves you with no sense of direction. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to understand. I don't know. What's the answer? I don't know. What's the truth? Man, this thing's so crazy. You got something that got you going like that? If it leaves you with no sense of direction, and if it has you really unsettled, it's like, I mean, your anxiety level is high, your stress level is high, your fear level is high, your doubt level is high. You're disquieted in such a way that even in your house by yourself, you feel this sense of dread or something. You need to really, really look at, you may have been touched by the thoughts from Shaitan. And if it really leaves you unsettled without a definitive position with which your heart is at rest, then you may have been touched by the Shaitan. If you feel yourself suffering a little spiritual indigestion, you may have ingested some zukhruf al-qawli ghurur, because those are those symptoms. The Muslim, the believer, is always at peace, always at rest, always secure. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Those who have submitted, this is just Muslim. You know, that's not to make it light, but this is where Allah says, بَلَّا مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجَهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ فَلَهُ أَجْرُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Nay, whosoever submits Islam, they have submitted it, they're Muslims. They have submitted themselves wholly to Allah. They don't give some of the power to Allah and some of the power to somebody else. I won't name names. No, all the power that they give it to Allah. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. What are they afraid of? What are they afraid of? What are they anxious about? Anxiety. And then you want to spread the anxiety among other people. Well, then you're the virus. Submit to Allah. Give to Allah his power. You know what I mean when I say give it. You got it anyway. I'm saying from yourself. If you're not already there, submit. Whatever you are fearing, make sure that you're not giving fear to something when that fear only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Check it. Check yourself. And when you do that, inshallah, Allah will give you the peace, he'll give you the quietude, he'll give you the security, he'll give you the answers for whatever may be troubling you. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ألا هو ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. أو الله, we know that you are the Lord, cherisher, Sena of all the worlds, that you are the only power. You are the only who knows. There is nothing that prevails against you or with you. Nothing that exists comes to you but as a servant. O Allah, protect us from the decorated speeches of this world. Protect us from the viruses of this world, both physical and metaphysical. O Allah, bless us to never, ever ever allow to come into our hearts and our minds any fears that builds up in us, worry, anxiety, doubt, fear, such that we fail to remember that you are the power, and there's no power nor any force except with you, the mighty and the sublime. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالعلي العظيم. 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 الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Brothers, just a couple of quick announcements. Okay, you got quite a list here. Okay, alhamdulillah, second edition of Ramadan class from the 5th to the 12th has been instituted, same time, 7 p.m. on the 5th and the 12th. Also, a NAS children's class goes on, and also the business loan program continues. And you can see, or you reach out to mshspeters@gmail.com. Anniversary, how can you say, regards for Steve and Deborah Lewis. Alhamdulillah, April 1st. Don't have any numbers, but I know it's been a minute, to put it lightly. I think Steve and I, we've been married almost about the same time, 48 years, somewhere around that. April 1st. Naeem and Zarina Majid, alhamdulillah, congratulations. Birthday wishes to Lamina Sumter and also to Amir Malika Shahid. Oh, okay, this is Tariq's baby, I'm pretty sure. Alhamdulillah. And also April 3rd, Meshawarthin Yard Sale, or you can contact Yolanda Shuad for your space and reservation. And I also want to say to the men of Meshawarthin, be sure you check in and help that setup. It's just a quick setup and breakdown. It's always needed at that time. Also, same day, April 3rd, women of Meshawarthin, chicken and fries, it's going down at 11 a.m. You can get a feel for that almost kind of breakfast, that New Africa feel, but it's the women of Meshawarthin, 11 a.m., only $10. Also, coming up in May is Virtual Washing and Shrouding, the Men's Group, and the Health and Wellness. They've rescheduled that, and that's going to be happening 1 p.m. May 22nd, inshallah. We want to give our congratulations to Ummi Green, alhamdulillah, one of our very successful young people, and the parents are warriors in that. He's interviewed by Al Roker on the U.S. on the Today Show. On the 25th of this month, alhamdulillah, inshallah. I think it's in the archive somewhere. Also, you can see that very, very big success going on there. Also, congratulations to Tariq and Javed Shahid on the birth of their new son, Elias James Arthur Shahid, born March 15th at 6:23, 7 pounds, 1 ounce, 19.8 inches. I think, is that enough detail for you? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All right, so we have 10 days until Ramadan, inshallah. You can call after 9:30 on April 12th regarding the beginning time of the fast. And also, I have some other details that I need to give you. So, for as far as the women of Meshawarthin, we've already mentioned that. There is the women of Meshawarthin also are sponsoring a Ramadan bake sale fundraiser. A Ramadan bake sale fundraiser scheduled for April 11th through the 22nd. That's April 11th through the 22nd. It's like 11 days. More information is going to be followed. Going to follow up on that in the upcoming weeks. Also, there will be a pre-Ramadan food bag giveaway on Saturday, April 10th, in the backyard of the masjid, Meshawarthin. And that's going to be a giveaway from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. or until all of the bags are distributed. Be sure to keep this in your schedule, April 10th. This is April 10th. And it's going to be from 10 to 2 until the bag is distributed. Now, these are, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, some, let me call them blessing bags. The content of these bags will include halal chickens, that's with an S, halal chicken, fish, fruits, dates, rice, potatoes, and more. All believers are welcomed to receive a bag. Okay, so that's April 10th, the Backyard of Masjid Word theme, from 10 to 2 or until all the bags are distributed. And also remember the Ramadan Bake Sale fundraiser scheduled from 11 to the 22nd, sponsored by Women of Masjid Word theme. Wa alaikum assalam. لا إله إلا محمد رسول الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألحاكم تكاثر حتى زرتم المكابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. ربنا الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
استغفر الله.
الحمد لله.